or instead of I need money for food, you know? So
Yeah.
everybody's gonna have problems. It's just some problems are a little easier to deal with than others.
Well, problems are where the growth happens. Okay, it looks like 9 o'clock. Some people are joining us, so let's stick to ASAP moving forward, if that's okay with you.
Certainly.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. It is Monday, 9 p.m. This is ASAP call for Larry Goins. My name is Turk Akbay. Larry hired me to help you guys work on the investor part of your real estate investing. My specialty is personal development, how the brain works, why the humans do things. So I'm a success coach. Larry wants to brag with your success. I want to brag with your success. So the purpose of these calls are to kind of help you get to take your game to the next level. We do these calls twice a month. I think it's the second and fourth Monday, something like that. We start at 9 o'clock. Looks like quite a few people logged on already. And this is the second series, or we started 2 weeks ago in February on time management. And I give you two, three things to do, and then we're going to expand on those things. If you missed 2 weeks ago's call, which is the first call of the month for us, you can get the archives from Candace, or I think customer service at Larry Goins is where you can get this information. Does anyone have anything specific to talk about before we start, before I start rolling? I'll leave the lines open for you. Anybody has any good things to report? Hey, I did this, or, hey, I forgot this, or I have a question about the last month or the calls before. Any of you have any questions before we start? Cool. All right. So if you remember, is anyone here for the first time? Is any of you here, or any of you, this is their first call? Cool. All right, so that makes life a little bit easier. So 2 weeks ago, or last call, we talked about time management, and you were going to work on two, three things. One is your body's, your physical, physiological body's rhythm. So what time of the day you feel good, what time you're dragging, and how you're feeling throughout the day. Next one was to kind of look for free-ish times, meaning that I have 30 minutes here, 45 minutes here, 2 hours here, based on your schedule. And I ask you to do this for about a week to get you a pattern. Were you able to do that?
Yes.
Well, good. One yes. Anyone else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, words don't teach. So if any of you want to just kind of, let's pick one of you. And then we work from there, and then let's get some questions. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Any volunteers who want to jump on and say, if that's okay, we'll use you as an example on how to integrate those things into time management. Any volunteers?
I'll go first.
Cool. All right. Is that Forrest?
This is Forrest.
Cool. All right, Forrest. So and it's easier to kind of learn from other people, and then we'll have plenty of time to work on other people as well. But Forrest, so give us about your body clock. So what did you learn about yourself, your body?
So I learned that I wake up about the same time. I do sleep, I sleep 8 to 9 hours. I am best at paperwork and motivated to push things out.
What time do you get up?
7.
All right, so 7 a.m. you're up.
Yeah, I'm up.
All right. Okay.
And then we get going, and I try, so I have a home office, and so I try to get ready instead of walking in and, you know, my shorts and a t-shirt, you know, I try to act like I'm going to work, you know, so I get up and I get ready and, you know, get clean and then try to push out all my paperwork by noon and then
so
go
let's
on
not
and
worry
tackle.
About the, let's not worry about the work part. Let's kind of think about the first, the physiology. So you're up at 7 o'clock. You feel refreshed or you're kind of dragging?
Refreshed.
Okay. So you're up refreshed and you're clean and, you know, let's call that a morning routine. How long is your morning routine usually?
By the time everything is done and my wife and I are ready to go, it's 2 hours. We start at 9.
So 9 o'clock, you're kind of, Forrest checks out. You know, your personal life ends, and now you enter the professional life, right?
Right, correct.
Cool. And you feel still refreshed, or did you dip, or are you more exhilarated, or kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
where
I'm
are
ready.
You?
Yeah, I'm
ready.
Ready
to roll
go.
At 9.
Yeah, sure. Ready to roll.
And when do you eat lunch?
Yes.
And you, is it about predictable, or is it kind of on the fly?
Yeah, I eat at 12. That's lunchtime, 12 o'clock.
12, yeah. Noon is your standard lunch.
Yeah, sometimes
as standard as it can. Yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, how are you at lunchtime?
Fine, good.
Still going?
Still going.
All right. And how long do you lunch?
As long as it takes. So I... Lunch is not an event for me. It's you know, put some food in and go. So maybe 15 to 30 minutes.
15 to 30 minutes, you kind of, you know, whatever's available. If I heard you correctly, you work out of the house, yes?
Yes.
Cool. So heat up some leftovers, and I'm just kind of, you know, drawing a picture for everyone.
Right.
So you grab your food, and then, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, you're back at work.
Correct.
Okay. How do you feel now?
Still going. Still ready.
Still going. Got it. Yeah. Any dip in your energy at all, or are you just going, you know, going through?
No, I don't. Mm-mm. I'm still going.
Good. And how late do you go?
How late? Until the work is done.
So what is that? Like
usually our afternoons are going out of the home office and, you know, either doing things for my wife's business or doing things for my business. And that usually runs till, you know, after dinner time. We'll usually, you know, eat dinner out and then come home and then finish up with any paperwork that needs to be done. So I would say typically we finish between 7 and 8 o'clock at night.
So 7, 8 o'clock is after dinner you're at home, or 7, 8 o'clock is when you're doing dinner? And there is a clinking sound. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everyone. Forrest, you can unmute yourself with *6, okay? Stand by.
Okay.
Forrest and everyone else, you can unmute yourself if you have a question by pressing *6. Go ahead, Forrest, back to you. So we left at dinner at 7, 8.
No, so we're at home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. We've already eaten dinner. We eat around 5.
Perfect. How's your energy?
We're tired. I'm tired.
So when did you go tired?
4, 5, 6 o'clock.
Right. So, you know, you're up and then you start working at, you know, 9 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock you're kind of drained. Well, kind of tired, ready to wrap it up.
Yes.
And what time are you just completely brain dead?
9. Sometime around 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So when you guys get home, it's just kind of a chill out, veg out, or, you know, do you work?
We try to relax But historically, it's still working many times.
Got it. And then, you know, it's like, okay, fine. This is all I can do. At 9 o'clock, I go to bed and zonk out. And then you said you sleep about 8-9 hours, so that brings you back to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we usually are in bed at 10.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then repeat.
And then repeat.
Got it. Okay. And what, do you take a day off?
Yeah, we take Sundays off.
Sundays off.
Mm-hmm.
So you rest one day a week?
And sometimes we take Saturdays. Saturdays are kind of like a spillover day, and if we have something we want to do with family or friends, we'll do it.
What's a spillover day mean?
If we haven't been able to get everything done during the week that we needed to get done, we'll
right,
take
kind of, okay,
it'll
got
be
it.
A, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen in a month?
Probably at least every other week.
Right. So you're kind of, is it safe to say maybe every other week you're off Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
Or is it
safe.
Kind of, is it kind
that's
of once in a blue moon?
No, I would say it's safe to say that we
cool.
every other
okay.
week we're working on a weekend.
Got it. All right, perfect. And so that's a typical work life for many people, right? And so a couple things, and I'm going to use you as an example on this. So I'm kind of don't take, you know, what I'm sharing with you, not you personally, although some of that will be true for you. But
mm-hmm.
to think of it like I'm just kind of using your time template,
mm-hmm.
right? So a couple things happen. The time management, as we talk about, is about life management and energy management, right? In
mm-hmm.
other words, what I mean by that is we're only capable of doing things as our brain capacity. If your brain is sharp, as you do at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., right, all day, right, which is it's
yeah.
not likely, but there's a dips and picks and all, right?
Right.
The reason that we're brighter earlier is because we get a rest time. In other words, I know that I have a 9 o'clock call today, so I want to make sure that I'm not drained by 8 o'clock. I want to be fresh at 9 o'clock. So it's really important for us investors who kind of make our own schedule. And if you have a job, this is even more important to kind of control your energy. Because if you have something important happening and your brain is dead, right, there is no reason to go through the motions. Because just going through the motions, doing it for sake of doing it, is useless. You would do much better by instead of taking an action that you're not ready for it, right? Instead of doing it that way, it's so much better and more profitable and more return on investment if you don't take the action and take the break and rest and do what you need to do when you're rested. So when I talk about time management, I talk about, you know, your brain power management, because if you're not sharp, it's useless. I mean, that's when the mistakes happen. Right, and one of the things that I used to tell the people who work on my projects, I used to go, hey, if you don't have time to do it right at the first time, you're not going to have time to fix it. So it's so much better to do it right at the first time, whether it's I'm making a phone call, whether I'm making a deal, whether I'm doing the paperwork, whatever it is, that if I'm going to do something, that I want to give my all attention to it. Now, of course, not everything requires same level of brain power. Today I had to decide on 9 pictures for my next website. It requires a little bit brain power of looking at pictures, but it's not the same brain power as running the numbers on a project that I'm running to see if it's a profitable business or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when I'm working on things, and I'm going to talk about the task list and how to divide things a little bit down the road, down the line today. So when I'm looking at my day, when I'm looking at my week or whenever, I know, just like what you're doing here, is I know when I'm sharp and when I'm not. So I had to do the images because my designer cannot figure it out, and I cannot outsource that particular thing to anybody else because it's the website, and I want to be the one who's making the decision on those images. Now, I'm sharpest at 8 o'clock, and I'm super motivated. Well, in my case, it's 7. But 7 o'clock, when my body is running, my body wants to do 1,000 things because I just came out of meditation, and I'm on top of the world, and I can do a shit ton of stuff. And so I was like, oh. If I look at my list, and on the top of the thing, it says, this is very important, A, priority, put images, right? And it also has A, priority, phone call, and then A, priority, something else. Well, I know I can't do my phone call because it's scheduled for 9 p.m., right? And I know the images have to be done today as well. That's an A priority. But one other item, let's say that it requires me to run the numbers, but it may not necessarily be an A priority. It can actually wait. I'm still going to do that thing that is really most valuable in the brain power, whether it's a B or C or whatever, let's say running the numbers. I'm going to do that when my brain is really sharp. And then when I know between 12 and 4 o'clock, when my body's sluggish and I'm not really kind of having a tough moment, or, you know, it really doesn't require too much brain power, but a little bit brain power, and that's when I'm going to schedule on my calendar the looking at the images, because they're important and they have to be done today. But if I'm analyzing 3 different deals, and that's what's going to require mathematical brain power, or I need to be really quiet and maybe have headphones, and I really need a block time, right? And that's what I'm going to schedule it for that. So going back to you, Forrest, we were talking about finding some free times. Were you able to find some free times in your day?
I guess you know the answer to that question. No, not really. I guess in the beginning and at the end. So I've had a hard time making the habit of the meditating, but I try to set my alarm for 15 minutes or stopwatch, you know, and, you know, just meditate in the morning. And then I guess my free time is just kind of winding down the last hour at night. But, yeah, I haven't really had good luck finding it during the daytime.
Yeah. Do you have any practices where you recharge, meaning that you're not with your wife, you're not with your kids, you're not with your dog, you're not with your book, but you're just kind of, you know, recharging your brain, where you're not putting new information, but letting that computer kind of rest?
No.
That's why you require 9 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because your brain needs the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you actually are able to quiet, you know, if you spend your last hour of your day not looking at screens, right? So if you're at home, you're in bed, and you're looking at a TV until you zonk out, or you're reading stuff, right? So you're not giving your brain rest. So the brain is the power. It's the electrical circuit. It's the computer, you know, hard drive that makes everything else works, right? So mm-hmm. It's always on. And if you're not giving it a rest, so it cannot organize. So then you don't get the optimum processing from the computer that you have. Now, it's all good. It's good to sleep 8-9 hours as long as you have time for it. And I'm not saying anything against it. But what your body is saying is like, dude, I really need to rest because you're killing me right now. One. Two. If you're not able to carve about a half an hour or an hour for yourself, Forrest, not anybody else, but just you alone, that means that you really are not living your own life anyway. So that means that your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. That also means that you're not being your true self, meaning you're not giving your all because you haven't really checked into yourself. So whether you meditate or not, now I'm definitely a spokesperson for meditation, right? But this is a really important thing for all of you who are in this call, to give your brain rest. And rest is not, reading a book, regardless of if it's a religious book or not. If your eyes are moving, if you're processing stuff, you're not giving your brain rest. So in your case, it's up to you. You can certainly, I think the schedule that you're running for us, I would tag on 30 minutes rest time at the end. So kind of like, you know how you have a morning routine where you're brushing your teeth, shaving, or doing whatever and all that, and it looks like you said if you get up at 7, you're ready at 9. So you actually have a two-hour morning routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you could squeeze in 15, 20 minutes just kind of quiet time where you get to stop. But because you're running a full schedule, I think your body may benefit, your brain may benefit from kind of, last 20 minutes of your day, last half an hour of your day. Just turn the screen off, turn off the book, make yourself a cup of tea, and just sit on appreciation. Just sit and say, oh man, this was a good day. My legs carried me. I did good. I didn't end up on the news. Kind of a mentally kind of winding yourself down, not to go, oh man, tomorrow I got to do this. You're not trying to add more information. You're just kind of dumping things, right? So that's going to start quieting your brain down, and that means that you're going to get to sleep a little bit better. And that means that when you get up in the morning, it's not going to be you open your eyes and then download of, 1,000 things that you got to do that day. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And during your day, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
41.
Oh, all right. So you're an old guy. Not old guy, but, you're like an adult, not a kid.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mentally you could be a kid, but, if you've been around the sun 41 times, that's still 41 times around the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you hype your, do you drink a lot of coffee? How do you maintain your full force in 12-hour days?
I just drink one cup of coffee in the morning.
And then you run all this time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way, man. I dig it. Cool. Does that make sense as far as the schedule is concerned?
Now,
no, everyone else cannot answer that, but, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Cool. So let's talk about, and for everybody else too, the way that I look at my schedule, the most important thing that I have to do in my day is the self-care. Because if I don't have it, I can't give it. And that's true for affection. That's true for respect. That's true for love. This is true for focus and all the things. If you don't have it, you can't give it. So when I'm looking at my task of all the billions of things that I have to do in a year, or hundreds of things that I have to do in a day, I try to chunk my things. One is myself, my personal stuff, Turk stuff. Two, family. Right? So that's being a husband, being a brother, being a son, being a brother, sister. Well, I'm not a sister, but hanging out with my sister. So family obligations, providing for my family, making sure my wife is okay, making sure my dogs are okay, right? The family man. So each of these things are, think of it like shirts or hats or name tags. And you have them all with you all the time. But when we're chunking the things, three is finances. I want to make sure my bills are paid. I want to make sure that, all is good. I want to earn as much money as I can. I want to reach my financial goals. Now, within those financial goals, right, then like a career. But I look at those things as a separate way, because the career is what I do professionally. So in your case, Forrest, when you check your clock in at 9 o'clock, that's the professional Forrest, right? It looks like until noon. And then when you go for lunch, that's the personal Forrest. you're clocking out from the work, and then you're doing your lunch. When you come back, again, you're back into professional forest. So it's really important to make sure that we have hard lines between these personality types, so they're not kind of blending with each other. In other words, if you're eating your lunch at, you know, you have a 30 minutes and you're looking over numbers, you're not resting. So when you come back, you're not rested. You can push through, but you're not rested. So when I say having hard lines, it's that way. And it is true for the work as well. So if I'm at work and my sister calls me, right? Hey, is this an emergency? No, I'll be off at 5. Call you back. Because momentum only happens from continuous focus. If you cannot focus, if you cannot have your own time where you don't have those boundaries, you cannot get things done because Facebook is pulling, this is pulling, that's pulling. So it's really important to look at your task list and have some chunks. You can color code them. You can have different projects written on piece of paper. You can highlight them. Whatever it makes is like personal life, family life, professional life, money. You know, each person is different. You know, and so you want to kind of find your own way. But I urge you to separate always money from real estate investing. Yes, you're using real estate investing to make money, but you have your money earning potential involves real estate, but it's a lot more. Many of you may be on this call that have a job, right? So you have a career with an ABC company and you're a real estate investor. So now your money comes from ABC company where you're trading dollars for hours for dollars, and you're trying to build a real estate empire, and at one point the money from that is going to be more than your career. So when I say your career, professional life, what I mean is your income earning abilities. You can sell books, you can be a bird dog, you can do real estate investing, you can dig holes. You know, you can rob a bank. I'm not suggesting you rob a bank. I'm just saying, you know, income opportunities are infinite. Right now we're talking about real estate investing, but I want to talk about, or I want to kind of bring your focus back to you. So your personal development is the most important thing. And then for under that is all the things that are branching off. And when we talk about time management, when I talk about focus management, that's what I'm talking about. You actually using your brain and your abilities and your capabilities and your network and all the stuff that you learn and all the mistakes that you've done and all that that's locked in between your left and your right ear. And for you to be able to have access to it, your computer has to be working properly. For that to happen, you have to be able to focus. For you to be able to focus, you have to learn to manage your time. For you to be able to manage your time, you have to be able to say no. You have to be able to turn the distractions down. And you have to be able to work on what's most valuable for you at the giving energy level. So what that means is when I'm looking at a task of all the things that I have to do in a week, in a month, in a year, whatever, there's a billion things that I have to do. I want to think in terms of what's the most valuable thing I have to do, I can do right now that's going to pay out the best for me. Believe it or not, sometimes that's going to the movie because my brain is dead and I can't do anything and I'm feeling like shit. And I go, oh, I just need to hide for a minute. And now they have movie theaters with recliners. I love it. I'll go there 2 hours. My brain stops and I'm just looking at a monitor and I don't have to think about work. And all I think about is, oh, look at these guys. They make $10 million. They pay $10 million for me to sit here, talk smack about this movie. That's great. And when I come out, I am refreshed because when I'm at the movies, the purpose of that is for me to rest. I go up, I'm going to do some Turk time and I just need to veg out. Sometimes I want to kill everybody. I'm in a really crappy place, and I'm just like in a mad place. You know, someone kicked my cat, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's a thousand things that are happening. Do you think I would be in a really good place to make a phone call to a realtor or a plumber or a general contractor? No, because I'm in a shitty place. I'm sitting in my own piss and complaining about the smell of urine. So what do? I say, oh, I need half an hour. I'm going to go to Freedom Park and I'm going to sit and look at the ducks. So time management is that. And there are some other times, it is nice and sunny. It is beautiful day, but I got a whole bunch of stuff to do. And my wife says, hey, let's go for a walk. Now, a family man, it's one of the important things for me to do. And I want to spend the time with my wife. I want to go for a walk. But I'm really super sharp right now, and I'm really feeling like a mathematical genius. Well, honey, if you can wait 2 hours, I'll go for a walk. But right now, I really need to work on this Excel sheet. So time management is that. You working on the most valuable thing you can work on, given your mental level. And then once you're present and you're actually doing, you know, you're actually here, okay, I'm going to do this now, and you commit to it, no one can stop you. I promise you this. This is a universal law, the momentum. That's why rich gets richer, poor get poorer. And if you're talking smack to yourself because you're kind of tired and you always do this, you're not in a good space. And you might as well just stop and rest. Does that make sense? I think that is a yes. All right. So, Forrest, do you have any questions on specific things?
Sorry, I had muted it. Yes, it makes sense. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So I'm gonna unmute everyone. Let's see if we can grab somebody else about their schedule. Stand by. Hey, welcome back, everybody. All right, do you have another volunteer to share their schedule and kind of work one-on-one?
Sure. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
Good. I start off, I wake up at 5. Since I have two kids, I wake up at 5:30 every morning with them and get them up and ready for school. And that's the start of my day every day.
Yep.
And due to the fact that they're used to waking up at 5:30, that's the way my weekends go. So I'm pretty much had a schedule anyways, but I did reshuffle it after the first couple days, after I talked to you last week, and found myself a little bit more productive. But I wake up at 5:30, get them off to school at 6:30. I start working, answering emails and all that type of stuff. Drink a couple cups of coffee and pretty much just prepare my day. Start working at 9 o'clock. 10:30 probably is my peak time throughout the day as far as energy level goes, and generally that lasts from 10:30 to 2, with a lunch right around 12. I pick up my boys from the bus stop at 2 o'clock, and I'm with them until dinner time at 5. From 5 to 6:30 is an incredibly slow time with me because I'm getting them ready for bed and all that type of stuff. 7:30 at night is free time for me. I try to do a little bit of work, and I watch a little TV, read a book. All depends on what I decide to do that night, and I go to bed at 10:30.
Are you a single dad?
That's pretty much my schedule all throughout the day.
Yeah. Are you a single dad?
Yes, I'm a single dad. So.
How old are your kids?
3 and 5.
Oh, young. Okay.
Yeah, so I have a pretty set schedule.
Yep.
Anyways, but what I did do, the whole reason why I got into real estate was so I could spend time with the kids. So I reshuffled things to where the time I'm with them, the slowest time, I do nothing but answer the phone and respond to email, which I wasn't doing before. And that worked, you know, for one, I was with them. my energy level as far as work goes was really low, because a lot of it was, you know, since they are so young, was either watching TV, going out to this playground, which was a lot of me sitting anyway. So I really wasn't all that motivated. So me trying to really do anything, I really didn't get anything accomplished. So what I did was just move that to answering phone and answering emails, and then just adding a little bit of the activity after 7:30 when they went to bed. I started, you know, throwing an hour in there of planning what I was going to do for the next day so I can kind of follow an agenda there, which seemed to help out quite a bit.
Brilliant, yeah. So you have a really tight schedule, and clearly because, you know, not because, but, you know, with the kids and all that. So I really like where you actually were able to chunk. So, you know, kids in a playground, yeah, you can totally make calls, right? You can totally check emails. It's not like old school days where you have to be in front of a desktop.
Right. Just as long as I have my phone on me and have signal, I can answer an email. So,
yeah, that's perfect. And the kids go to bed at 7:30, so you're kind of, you know, running the kind of ending the day.
Right. And I try to do one task after 7:30 that I would normally do during the time I'm just spending with the kids. And
yep.
It seemed to free up a lot. It made my morning a lot less hectic, where I was trying to plan everything and do everything. I have that kind of set, you know, not set in stone, but have an idea of what I was going to do for the day. And that's pretty much what I've been doing at 7:30, was just kind of outline what I was going to do for the next day. And it seemed to free up a lot of time for me.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's always better. And furthermore, you know, our brain's kind of resting at nighttime, but our subconscious mind is not. So it's really good to kind of think about, you know, setting the tone for the next day and the night before. Now, this is before I go to bed, because you kind of want to wind down, right? But what you're doing is perfect, ending your day kind of, okay, these are the things that I was able to accomplish. And one thing that I highly suggest, if you're already not doing it, I usually will start with the things that went really good rather than things that I didn't get to. Right? So if I go, oh, I didn't get to these four item things, I'm kind of shutting my brain down in the wrong way. But if I go, hey, I was able to do this, I was able to be, you know, I did this with my son, I did this with this, and I was able to make those two phone calls, and that's really good, pat myself on the back. And I said, oh, there are a couple of things that I want to make sure that I get to tomorrow and all that. That's really good. I usually think in terms of, I do it on writing. So even as we're speaking right now, I'm writing the things that you're saying, right? Because I know once I put it in my book, I don't have to keep it in my brain. Only thing that I have to remember tomorrow is look at this page, right?
Okay.
So at night, I'm like, I did this, I did that, that's really good. Oh, I want to make sure tomorrow I can do this. Once I'm done with this, my day is over. Now I'm winding down. Whether you read, you know, or whether you meditate, whatever you're doing, it's kind of start getting my brain into a restful state. Now, if you're with the kids at 5:30, you're up, you're running around and doing all this stuff, and if you peak at, you know, if your peak hours between 10:30 and 12 o'clock, one thing that may be really helpful for you, a good tweak, is don't check your email until 12. You know, don't check your email before lunch. Now, this will take a little bit of time, but if you're peaking, right, and if you plan your day right, nothing that, unless you have a deal that you're waiting on. Does that make sense? But if you start putting this schedule in, because email is the number one energy killer other than Facebook, right? So stay away from politics, don't look at Facebook, and don't check your email before lunchtime. And that's going to add, it's going to feel like it adds 3 hours to your day.
Okay.
And with having two kids, you do need that 3 hours in your day.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the brain power, not, you know,
right.
We all get to 24 hours. Yeah. And the other thing is, what I know, what I learned is really because of the emails, you know, when you send emails in the evening or whatever, that's fine. It really is. It works just fine. It really is not a whole lot of issue. There is a little bit unreasonable expectations, but I think we humans are getting over this a little bit. Everybody wants everything fast, right? It's like, you know, you send an email, it's like, did they get it? Did they not get it? What's happening? And there's this hypersensitivity to getting back to people quickly. Now, you know, there was a time where we didn't have email, right? And there was a time before cell phones. And we survived just fine. This hypersensitivity is not part of the human schedule. So it's really important to be able to be a good time manager is you stick to your schedule. Because that is going to give us the optimum freedom. Because what's going to happen is, there is a difference between activity and productivity, right? So a lot of people are busy, not doing anything. But when you're actually doing your, you know, you're ready for it and you're taking only action that you're ready in the optimum time, you won't be busy. Your workload is going to be, you know, 20% less. You'll be working 40% less than people, but you're going to get the results. What we're trying to do as investors, 80-20 rule apply. We're trying to be on the top 20%. For us to be able to be in top 20%, we really have to relinquish a lot of the stuff. And a lot of the busy stuff falls by themselves or they become unimportant. When my employees call me, I try not to call them back for 2 hours. Because usually by the time I, you know, they're like, it's an emergency. And then I go, okay, I wonder if it's really an emergency. It's emergency to them at the moment. And then I go 30 minutes later, they're like, oh, this is what's going on. I'm like, is the place burning down? No, it's not. We're good. An hour later, they come up with the solution. Does that make sense? Now, I could have jumped in there, fixed it. But now that will never be a problem for me again. So by you actually shifting these emails the way that you're shifting it, what I'm sure you're noticing is it feels like you're working less, but your results are not dipping. Is that a true statement, Jerry?
Oh, that's definitely the truth. You know, and
right?
I feel so much better in so many different ways that I did it this way. It's been a big change. Rather than trying to do it all and watch two children, just answering emails on my phone just freed up, you know, a big block, you know.
Yeah. So now what you want to do is you want to integrate some rest time for your brain because now you're going to have more free time, right? Because when you start doing the optimum things, that gives you the biggest yield, the biggest return on your investment, right? I promise you, Richard Branson is not answering phones. He's answering the phones, right? That's really important to him. And so what you want to be able to do is you're going to have some free time in your hands, whether it's half an hour, whether it's 50 minutes here and there. And if your brain is rested, you'll be able to make that phone call that actually gives you the highest yield. So what you want to do now that you're actually implementing these things is try to catch some free times, see if you can put them into some sort of schedule for yourself. Like what I would do is I would have a list of things that's just kind of holding and waiting, right? So when there's it's like a free time hustle. And when I have a half an hour hustle, I go, oh, what can I do here? I look at that list and it's a list of items that will only take 30 minutes. Whether it's reading a chapter or whether it's working on something, and you can plug those in there, and what's going to do, it's going to help you geometrically grow your business and your income and your brain power. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's very good. Anything else?
No, that's it. That's a good idea, just having a little hustle list. I never thought of that. That's a really – I like that.
So on the time management, there's one thing that was really helpful for me. I learned this from David Allen, GTD system. If it can be done in 2 minutes, do it. right? No reason to file. If you can finish it, maybe 3 minutes, but no more. So if there is something that pops in right now, it's like, I just remembered in my brain, oh, take the trash out. If I can do it in 3 minutes, well, I'm on the phone right now, I wouldn't. But I go, oh, if I can do that in 3 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and do it. If it's more than 3 minutes, or if it requires more than one action, I'm going to put it on my book, and then I'm going to come back to it when I'm doing my daily routine. But I try not to keep anything in my brain. I'm dumping everything into some sort of a writing device. It's one of those little moleskins. That's an ongoing thing. And in that, I create it now. You know, it's like one-hour projects, 30-minute projects, no-brain projects. And then if I have 30 minutes, I look at that page. Oh, there are four things. Let me go get my license renewed. Well, that's never 30 minutes, but just to give you an idea. Let me go do this. Oh, I need to, you know, I need to clean the bathroom, or I need to go and call this guy. I haven't talked to one of my military buddies, or playing phone tag, and it's always 30 minutes. It's there, call or tacos. And so if I have 30 minutes, I got nothing to do, and I have no brain power, and I'm not trying to work on anything, let me knock that off. Make that phone call. And maybe, you know, go kick my realtor's butt. Go yell at him. So that, I think, because you have a tight schedule, something like that where you organize your items on a time constraints would be really helpful. Anyone else want to share? Thank you, Jerry. This was helpful.
Very welcome. It was helpful for me also. Thank you.
Great. Uh-huh. We have time for one more.
Kirk, I'll share. This is Kaisha from North Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Good. I hope you are.
Good. I think mine is actually opposite of the other two. Sometimes I think I have too much time on my hands.
that's common. Give us your schedule.
Okay. So I'm up at 6 o'clock. I'm then in I have a home office. I read, meditate, and Bible. I do Bible study in the morning. And then I get my little one up, my four-year-old, up at 7:45. Get him dressed and fed, drop him off at preschool at 9:15, 9:20. And then I'm back home. Well, actually, at 9:30, I work out. And then I'm back home by 10:30. And then I work on, I've listened to you said for me to start working on my real estate on Mondays only. So I've been doing that, but then I have to pick him up at 1 o'clock from preschool. My issue is once I get him home.
On the preschool. Go ahead after 1 o'clock.
After 1, I get him home. He's down for his nap, or his snack. Make him his snack, and then he's down for lunch or for his nap at 2. My issue is getting myself back into the work mode between 2 and 4 while he's napping.
Yeah. How does your body feel between 2 and 4?
Restless. I don't feel motivated for most days.
Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, okay. And then what happens after 4?
Then he's up at 4, and then we're playing for about 35 minutes to an hour, either the home or outside, and then I'm making dinner before my husband gets home, and we sit down for dinner. Then it's, of course, playtime again with him. And then he's normally in bed between 7:30 and 8:30, depending on how much playtime we have. But then
is that husband or son?
The son, I'm sorry. The son.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But then I battle with spending time with my husband or going back to work, because that's when I get my second burst of energy.
Sure. Yeah. So 8:30, you're kind of like, okay, everything is done, man. Kid is sleeping.
Right.
Husband is fed. The day is over. Let's get some stuff done.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what time do you go to bed?
Normally about 10:30.
10:30. Mm-hmm. And then repeat at 6 a.m.
Yes. Yeah. So I try to be in bed no later than 11.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Well, it's good. So you get up at 6, and then you don't kind of start work till 10:30, which is really
mm-hmm.
awesome. So you spend good chunk of time on the self time, right? You're working out. I mean, you know, you have mommy duties. And you have duty is the wrong language, but, you know, you understand. Mommy
your duties,
hat.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have a wife hat and, you know, and then you have Kaisha hat and all that stuff. Got it. But it's
wow.
good that you work out. It's, you know, I'm a big proponent of a person, you know, reading uplifting material. So anytime someone says I'm reading Bible, that to me is any uplifting thing it will do. So you actually starting with the right foot forward. So those are all good things. As long as, you know, your son is not annoying you between 6 and 8, and that happens. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's temporary. It's going to be good old days one day.
Right?
So then how are you feeling between 10:30 and 1?
Oh, energetic, motivated.
All right, so
everything. Yeah.
Would you say between, you know, and you may not notice, but between 10:30 and 1, is it the same energy level after 8:30 and 10:30?
Just about, yes. Mm-hmm. Like right
yeah.
now, like I'm wide awake. And
yeah, that's how I am too. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like it's 10 o'clock after this call. I have another 2 hours because this is when I do my best time.
Right.
Yeah, so that's perfect. So a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2 and 4 o'clock, two things could be, and I'm similar situation to what you're doing. I really drag ass between 12 and 4. It's, you know, just let you know, stick me in a pool, I'm okay. All other places, I don't function. I just want to nap, watch TV, you know, do lazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, it could be, and you'll have to check this. It could be lunch that's draining your energy, or, you know, you have a shifted time. You're genetically, you know, is that, you know, that's your cycle. If that's your cycle, don't do anything between 2 and 4. So don't try to push yourself, because that's going to be like pushing a wet noodle. But put things that's valuable, because, you know, no husband, no kids. Right, so you have some free time, you just don't have energy.
Right.
But if you force the issue of going through the motions in that time when you don't have energy, it's not going to pay out. It's going to burn you out. And then you're not going to get the results, and burn, it's going to suck really much. But you could put things there, like not necessarily learning new skills, but you may figure out some habits that you're trying to develop, some books that you kind of want to read but doesn't really require, or audiobooks, or return emails, you know, look at the deals. What I mean by look at the deals, you can scan through, but don't take any actions until 8:30, 10, 9 o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Gotcha.
So
yes.
On a typical day, I have 300 emails. 290 of them are for Viagra and Nigerian prince trying to give me money and a whole bunch of stuff. But I still have to go through, you know, the find the stupid emails, to get the gems between the Nigerian king and, you know, the guy who wants to sell me pills. So
right.
Between 2 and 4, I may be looking at this. I'm like, delete, 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 keep, delete, 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 keep. Delete, delete, keep. I'm not processing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just cutting the fact.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So when I'm
yes.
at 8 o'clock, when I'm sharp, I know which emails to look. There are 3 of those 100 emails I really needed my eyes on. It. But if I looked at it at 2 o'clock, it was going to take me 30 minutes to figure out what the hell this guy was saying. But 8:35 p.m., in 10 seconds, I get what this guy is trying to tell
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So no reason that I'm not going to do it at 2 o'clock. I'm just going to cut the fat between 2 and 4. At 8:35, I'm there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And I'm learning. I'm trying to learn how to not like fill my day. Like I feel because of that lapse in time, it feels like mentally that I have to be doing something.
Yeah, that's a mental addiction. It doesn't serve anybody.
Right.
So you want to keep remember, activity and productivity are not the same thing, number one.
Right.
Two is 80-20 rule, right? So the busy people are the ones that's at the bottom 80% because they're not using their brain, they're not using their capacity, so they have to make it up. The really cool analogy that I've been listening to lately, one of my teachers says, is about vacuuming the carpet, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at somebody going through the motions of the carpet, and, you know, going back and forth, making the marks on the carpet, doing all the things, right? And they say, yep, I've actually gone through all the motions of vacuuming the carpet. But if they haven't plugged it into the power outlet, all that action is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're working on. So the point of freeing up time, the point of doing these things in this way is you're like, I'm going to plug in first and then I'm going to vacuum. I'm out in 5 minutes. Yeah, you can go ahead and cry about, you know, you're taking 2 hours. Hey, man, that you're on your own. But I'm plugging my stuff first. So, and, you know, you can shift your, I don't know what you make for dinner, but, you know, between 2 and 4, you can figure out what you're going to do for dinner and you can cut up some of that time. I would highly suggest having that discussion with your husband as well where he understands, and I don't know your husband, but I don't know you either, but, right, and saying, hey, I'm really sharp here, and does he have a job? And he wants you to make money from real estate so he can quit his job?
Well, he's military, so he's not quitting.
Okay, that's cool, right? So he understands that in that case. I mean, if any branch of service, they understand about the mission. So, and he then also understands, you know, when to do the things when it's optimum timing.
Right.
So you can actually say, hey, man, between 8:30 and 10:30, I'm sharp. And, you know, you're going to retire. We want to make money and we want to do this. I need an hour of my time. And when I say my time, professional time.
And he understands that, like, Mondays, you know, like today, after I get a call, he'll go to sleep before me because I'm working now. Wednesdays, I don't cook. You know, is that still part of my self-care? So, you know, they're on their own. But
that's perfect.
So, yeah, so, and then I do meal prep on Sundays for the week. So that does lessen my cook time, prep time, and everything for meals. So he, you know, and then some days if I don't want to cook, he's okay with that as well, or he'll cook. So he will, you know, and that's why I said sometimes I do have more free time than, you know, than maybe the normal person, so to speak. So, but, yeah, so that's I'm just trying to be, like you said, more productive in that free time than just having busy work.
I have a challenge for you, which is super easy, and you really relate to this. This is February, right? So one thing add to this list, you got this. I really like what I'm seeing here, and you're doing real estate, you know, so you're kind of organizing it, chunking your days. That's really beautiful. So now I want you to practice on active faith. So I want you to take some actions on the really scary stuff. But I want you to kind of, when you're doing your meditation, as things are working out for you. So that could be a mantra that you can repeat to yourself, right?
Okay.
You can just say, universe got my back. And, you know, if you're a religious person, you can say, Jesus got my back, whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just but now, you know, not do a lip service, but now you push through. And then you go, okay, so you don't want to be a cash register honest. You want to be honest with yourself and put that to test. Don't start with jumping off the building like a Matrix, but go with the small stuff. But each day, just increment a little bit more, but go for something scary on your real estate stuff.
Okay.
And then just keep, you know, keep record of that. Hey, today I'm going to push out of my comfort zone a little bit because I have faith, because I'm doing my stuff for it. I already worked out, took care of my body. I already read my book. I understand what it taught me. And I'm just going to go one scary stuff today. And maybe that's one phone call, or maybe making a deal, or maybe just looking at a $1 million property rather than a $400,000 property. You know what I mean? But really lean into that and let the universe kind of demonstrate, or let your subconscious mind and your brain demonstrate to you that you have some capacity to be able to push a little out of your comfort zone. And that's just a muscle memory, just like anything else. Once you get it going, and you'll be unstoppable.
Okay. Awesome. I like that.
Cool. Do you have any other questions or anything to, you want to share?
No, that was pretty much it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course. All right. Is there anyone else that you want to share anything or have questions?
Well, this is Gary again. The question, someone that's never meditated, how would you suggest, what would you suggest to start meditating as far as any books or anything like that?
You don't need books to meditate, man. You just need to sit and breathe. Meditation is not complicated as people think it is. What I do is I have a ticking clock app on my phone. I'm an auditory person, okay? I set my alarm clock. I have an iPhone, and I bought an app for 99 cents. It's just like tick-tock, tick-tock, old school, like on my, my grandmother's house. Tick-tock, tick-tock. If you have an AC unit, if you have a refrigerator, if you have a fish tank, anything that does not drive you nuts. What I mean by that is, if I'm thinking about a bird chirping outside, well, I remember the time when I was going out with my girlfriend and the birds were chirping, so my mind is wandering off. But air conditioning noise, I don't have any. You're looking for something boring to focus on.
Okay.
Right? I set my alarm clock 15 minutes countdown. I visually look at it to make sure it goes 15, 14:59, because my mind is going to go, maybe it didn't stop, maybe it didn't happen. So I'm going to be like, okay, that one is done. And then I put a tick-tock clock, let me see what it's, are you on an iPhone?
I got an Android, but I'm sure I can find an app.
Yeah, it's just ticking clock, and it goes like this. I close my eyes. I sit, you can lay down, it really doesn't make any difference, and I just go, and my mind goes, oh man, Jay asked me a question, I forgot. I go, okay, tick-tock, and then I go back. And then it's like, oh man, the forest needed this, and God damn it, I forgot to send that email. My brain goes, and then I go, okay, tick-tock, tick-tock. Right? So first day, you don't need more than 15 minutes meditation. No one does. So it's usually 14 minutes of argument and 1 minute is quiet. And you're good. And then you say, tomorrow, see if I can do a little bit more. And then what happens, the point of meditation is just to quiet the mind, quieting your brain, and letting your subconscious mind hear you. Because that's the voice in the back of your mind that you usually or we sometimes overrule. You know what I mean? Before you do stupid stuff, there is part of you go, don't do it. You're going to regret it. You're like, it's okay. Right? The subconscious mind is the one, don't do it. You're going to regret it. It's okay is the brain. So the point of meditation is you being able to, me being able to, whoever is meditating is being able to differentiate. Is it your brain? Or is it your subconscious mind? Your subconscious mind is always right. It's never wrong. That's the one who runs the show. That's why you cannot pause your heart for a second. That's why you cut your hand. You don't have to heal it. Your body heals itself. Right? So that's not something supernatural. It's just your body is engineered that way. So the point of meditation and focusing on something boring is you just bring your attention back to it. Bring your attention back to it so you learn what quiet mind sound like. And then when things are going haywire, you could just look at them. You go, okay, let me breathe for a second. You go tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. So you're in a better place. You can be more detached. It really is not that complicated at all. Super easy. Put 15 minutes clock, sit somewhere, and don't worry about it. Just get in the habit of sitting somewhere. I have a coaching program where I work with people. I just say for first week, don't even worry about thinking, clearing your mind. Just get in the habit of sitting in the same place for 15 minutes. If you've never done it, it sometimes feels like a nightmare. That's why you want to set the alarm clock. Did that answer? Jerry? Are you there?
I'm still
here. Yeah, did that answer your question? Or maybe we lost them. All right, anyone else? Do you have a suggestion on what you guys want to talk about in March?
What options do we have?
Sky's the limit, man. Whatever will be most helpful for you.
I like the time management. I think that that's something that I really need to work on. And I like that. But I'm sure we can do something else. I'm sure we find
something. Yeah, we did month of time management. And that's going to get real boring real fast.
All right.
So, yeah. All right. So let's talk about are you guys doing any issues with, you know, making deals or making offers? Is there fear and things like that that we can overcome some of that? Or we can talk about self-talk, you know, how not to beat up on yourself, or how to have active faith and how to grow your faith muscles.
I'm fearful.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. All of the above.
All right, I'll cook up something and I stick it on the Facebook. How's that?
Awesome.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So
I tell you one thing. This is forced. I have a problem with the consistency. I guess it's the time management of, you know, structuring the day. But, you know, making deals or making offers or, you know, finding time to research, you know, deals. Life always takes priority, you know, as far instead of the structure, the things that I need to be doing to focus on the business, I'm chasing the fires, you know, with the fire extinguisher, you know what I mean?
All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about how to build habits on March.
Okay.
So that would be good. So you can actually build a habit of doing those deals. But so this is how I do it. Right? And I hope this helps. And if it doesn't, you can throw it in the trash. I go, what's the maximum fun I can have right now? What can I do that's maximum fun? And that's never wrong. Right? And then how to make what I'm doing more fun for me? Because you still got to pay the bills. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that'll cut down on the fires. But just concentrate on fun. See if you can make a list of, between now and March, make a list of all the fun things that's really fun for you. Not what you think would be fun, but it's actual fun.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, playing video games is fun for me. I haven't won a game since 1984, but I like it. So I sit there and I let people talk smack to me, and it's all kind of stupid stuff is happening, and I'm constantly getting killed and die. But it's fun to me, right? So just make a list of, you know, hanging out with my dog. Petting my dog is fun to me. Sailing is fun to me. You know, I just picked up a pistol, firing, you know, going to shooting range is fun for me. And why is it fun? I like that explosion. I like that power. You know what I mean? Just kind of make a list of all the fun projects. Fun things that you actually like to do. You may not get to do them, but, you know, these are fun things for me. And then you can share that in March, and we work on building habits. Can you do me a favor? Please share your feedback. If you're on this call, share your feedback with Larry's team.
Okay.
Okay.
We really want to know what you guys like, what you don't like, what we can improve, what, you know, what's good, what's not. So let them know. Shoot an email. I think it's larry@larrygoins.com or candice@larrygoins.com. Because when we're meeting, we go, what can we talk about? What would be most beneficial? What we think is what you think is irrelevant. What Larry is committed to giving you the help that you need, not some hypothetical scenarios, but whatever is work, you know, whatever is working for you. So shoot a quick email and say, hey, I like these things, and I think these things really suck you, and tell Turk to change these things, and we're all up for it. It's all good. Other than that, you can send your emails to asap@larrygoins. I try to check those once a week. And, of course, you can shoot me a stuff on social media, and I'm on a hashtag, Total Self Help. So if you're on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, if you just Google hashtag Total Self Help, you can get to me. Sometimes it's a little bit easier.
Okay.
If there's nothing else, let's close tonight up. This was really enjoyable for me. I'm looking forward to talking with you guys in March.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Turk.
Have a good night.
Of course. Have a nice evening. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Good night.
Bye-bye, guys.